I'm Ryan Sullivan, the co-founder of Buddy, and welcome to Buddy's Besties. And welcome to our two great guests, Mary Cummings and Wilbur. Hello.
Wilbur.
There he is. All right. So people might not know this, and I'm just going to tease this up front, and then we'll talk about it in a little bit. But Wilbur is the big star, right, of our Netflix movie, The Rip, with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. He is the hidden star, Hollywood's next big talent. There he is, looking very handsome. And but now let's backtrack a little bit. So, Mary, tell us about you, who you are, and your relationship with Wilbur.
So I am a dog trainer, and I am a dog groomer and a professional handler in the show ring. And Wilbur, I've been doing dogs since I was in high school or less, a long time. And Wilbur is out of my breeding program. So he's been with me almost his entire 3 years. He's almost 3 years old.
He's almost three. So he's two and almost three, two and some months.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And so, and Wilbur is also in shows. And then Mary, you and Wilbur and I, we met at the National Dog Show.
We did.
And he competed. How did he do there?
He didn't win anything, but that's okay. Dog shows are like that.
Right. Well, he won our hearts.
Yes.
I met where Mary and Wilbur a couple of days before the actual event, and Wilbur was in the Bark Off, and he did his Basset Hound Roo. Is it a Roo? Is that what it's called?
It's a Roo.
Not Basset Hound.
Yep.
Beagle Roo. Yes. Excuse me. And what type of beagle specifically is Wilbur?
So he's an unusual color. It's a color called Blue Tri.
Okay.
Which is a dilute gene. So it makes his tricolor look faded.
Okay. Interesting. Now, have you, you've raised beagles before Wilbur?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, what makes Wilbur so special that, you know, he starts to get involved in photo shoots and TV and film?
So I've been doing film work and modeling with various dogs since the 80s. And I have a couple of older dogs that have worked a lot. And I was looking for the next prospect out of my litters to keep, to carry on. And, you know, temperament, food drive, and the look is really important when you're doing set work and entertainment work. He captivated me right from the get-go. And we started training at a very early age. So even though we're dog shows and dog sports are really important to us, the set work training starts really, really young.
Okay. So Mary, you've been doing this for a while, since the 80s, right?
Yes.
And so now you have enough experience where when Wilbur's just a puppy, you can see a certain something in him,
correct, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so that's how Wilbur kind of gets plucked from obscurity, as they say, and you start working, training him very early, and then he is ready for this kind of work.
Yes.
Now let's go back with you to the 80s. How did you get involved with this kind of work with the other dogs that you had?
So I had German Shepherds at the time, and I still have German Shepherds, but that was my breed at the time before Beagles. And I was hanging out with a friend of mine who also had a German Shepherd. We trained together. And there used to be a magazine, I don't even know if it still exists, called Dog Fancy that you used to be able to buy off the rack at the grocery store. So we were reading a Dog Fancy magazine, and there was an article about dogs and entertainment in it. And there was a name of an agent that operated out of New York City. And on a whim, I sent them a resume of my German Shepherd at the time and the skills that he had, and never dreaming that I would hear anything back. But in less than a month, I got a request from that agent to come and do an audition for a new NBC TV series that needed a police dog. And okay. We went to the audition and we got the part.
And what NBC series was that?
It was a show called True Blue.
True Blue.
Yes. Ran
Remind
one
me
season.
Of that one. One season, who was in it?
Oh, goodness. Nestor Serrano and a bunch of people that aren't here anymore.
Okay. That happens. All right. Well, I'm going to have to look up True Blue when we're not talking, because I love classic television.
Yes.
Now, so you learn a lot of things by working on a TV show.
We do.
And working on a set. Now, my background is I've directed and produced commercials. And, you know, so been involved in that world, not, you know, crazy Hollywood productions or anything like that. But, you know, I've got experience in that world. So, Mary, give us a couple of tips for our average viewer on what being on a set with a dog is all about.
So, the care and comfort of the dog is of the most importance. So, you know, I bring everything that I think I might need. A lot of time it's overpacking, but I never want to be without. Rehearsing, knowing ahead of time, I work through agents. So when I book a job, I want to know through the agent exactly what behaviors that they're going to need on set to make sure that I'm ready. Now, a lot of times that changes, and a lot of times what the production company might tell the agent is the behavior they need. If they're not really dog people, then sometimes it turns out to be something different, and we have to be able to roll with the punches a little bit. And sometimes rolling with the punches means not letting them see you sweat. You just, you know, get the behaviors as best you can, keeping your dog happy and safe, and you know, sometimes adjusting the shot if it's something that really isn't going to be conducive to what the dog can do and that sort of thing.
Right. And, you know, Mary, I don't know you extremely well, but just interacting with you before and now, you're a very calm person, and you've got a great energy about you. And that really, you know, people that who are not in this world don't know that really translates to your dog too.
It does. 100%.
Yeah. So if you start getting nervous, if you start getting flustered, upset, you know, the dog picks up on that right away.
Right. And then the dog voice changes, or your body language changes, and the dog immediately picks up on that.
Right. So really, when they're hiring the dog, they're also hiring Mary, because Mary is very calm, cool, collected. And yeah, things go wrong on set all the time.
Yep.
That's expected. But it's how do you bounce back from that? How do you Correct. Do that take two or take 10, right?
Right, exactly.
Wonderful. Yep. Okay, so you've got an agent, German Shepherd, you're on a TV show, lasts for a season. So then I imagine you just keep that agent, and with your dogs as you're progressing throughout the years, and maybe you switch up agents or what have you, but now you're kind of known in the industry.
Correct. Yeah. So now various agents reach out. I have a couple of main agents that I work with, but I have other agents that have seen my dog's work that will reach out to me now and inquire if my dogs are available for a certain shoot that they're working on or that sort of thing. So that's been a nice, you know, nice plus to be recognized in the industry.
Right. Right. Now, is that your full-time job, or what do you do?
I own a boarding kennel and a grooming shop, and I teach lessons to people and their companions. I am semi-retired as a professional handler, where I used to show a lot of dogs for a lot of clients. Last year, I semi-retired from that, so I'm only handling for one client, so that I can make this my full-time job. Film work and modeling, set work will become my full-time job over the next couple of years.
Great. And is Wilbur your main star?
He is my main star right now. I have a couple of young up and coming dogs of various breeds that I'm working with, and I ventured into cat training. I have a Maine Coon kitten that I'm working with. So we'll see how that goes.
I've got four cats, so I might need you to come down, Mary, to Texas and help me and my wife out. I don't want to delve too deeply in this because we're here to talk about Wilbur, but I'm guessing, and I could be wrong, I know you'll correct me, is training cats and dogs apples and oranges?
Absolutely, 100%. And this is the first cat. I mean, I had cats as a youngster, but I haven't had a cat in many, many years, and I certainly never trained a cat. So it's a whole different ballgame.
Okay. All right. So let's jump back to our buddy Wilbur here. You see a sparkle in him. You start working with him. You know, he's responding well. So now you tell your team of agents, hey, I've got a new beagle this guy's really good. And so now the word is out, quote unquote, right?
Yep.
Okay. So now tell me about some of the work, and I've got it listed here, but tell me like some highlights of the work that Wilbur did before the rip.
So he started with, his first two jobs were within a couple of weeks of each other. One was, BarkBox, which actually one of my other dogs had booked, but, sometimes on shoots, we can bring a young dog to get them used to the set when they're not actually working. So I brought him with me with the other dog. That was his very first experience on set, and they ended up using him in the BarkBox.
Wilbur's like, "Oh, we're talking about me now. I'm interested."
And then the second shoot that he did was for a photographer called Gray Mallon that does prints, puts dogs in prints. And we shot that at Met Stadium, which was kind of fun. And from there, he got some bit parts, dog walking parts on FBI's Most Wanted, and he did some simple modeling shoots. And at that point, I was sending the various agents training videos of what we were working on at home, behavior wise, and that sort of thing. So he was only a year and a half old when we went to do the audition for the rip. So really young to take on a part of that magnitude.
Right. And now I've got to imagine that this has just got to be super helpful, for Rick. Like you said, I'm working with Wilbur. We're working on new stuff. You can just whip out your phone, record it real quick, send it off. Whereas before you had to lug out a camera, set it up on a tripod.
Exactly. I do have a tripod for my phone, because a lot of times I'm by myself and I have my little remote that turns my, video on and off on my phone. And, every couple of days, usually once or twice a week, I'll video Wilbur and the things we're working on. I'll video the other dogs and the things we're working on, so that we can keep the agents up to date, and so that I can watch them myself and see, where I want to add to that, or what I want to do different, or how I want to expand that particular behavior, that sort of thing.
Okay, great. So now you've mentioned it. There's a casting call for the rip. Did they know they wanted a beagle, or did they want to see a bunch of dogs?
So they wanted to see some different dogs. It's based on a loosely based on a true event. And the dog that actually was the money dog in the true event was a spaniel. So they wanted sporting, houndy sort of. They didn't want guard dog, German shepherd, police dog sort of stuff. So we had to do a live audition. Normally for a lot of things, we do video auditions or photo auditions for smaller projects. But we went to a live audition with a couple of other dogs. And I actually brought four of my beagles for the director to see, with Wilbur being the one I thought was the most suited for the part. But I wanted to make sure that, I have another little girl beagle that's 12 now, that's done a lot of work, and she has not quite as many behaviors as Wilbur does, but she does a lot of things. So the other dogs auditioned, and the director came out, and I got Wilbur out of the car, and he instantly loved his physique, because he's a very fit, athletic dog. Liked the color, the blue. People don't generally know that it's a specific color, but they know it's not your regular beagle color.
Your regular beagle color, yeah.
Right. And then so we went in and did the auditions, did the things that they wanted to see that he could do, and was pretty sure when we left that audition that we were going to get the part, but had to wait a couple weeks to get the, or I guess it was a week or 10 days before we got the final call.
Okay, so it'd be a good time for our viewers. The Rip is and I don't want to give a lot away because it's great. It is streaming on Netflix. You should go and watch it. It's a really fun movie. It's a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon. It's a police story about some police in Miami that they get a tip on some drug money in a house, and they go to investigate that. And Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are the two main stars. They play cops together on the force, and they go in with a couple other cops to this house, once again, where there's there's drug money. They get a tip on and they're there to investigate, and they bring along their police dog, Wilbur. So, or they bring along their police dog, which we find out is Wilbur. So you leave the audition, you think Wilbur's got it, and you get the call that Wilbur didn't get the part. Now, where was the audition held?
The audition was held at the studio where we filmed in New Jersey.
Okay, so, and that was one of my questions. Was this filmed in a studio? Was this filmed on live location? So the house was created in a studio.
Right, the inside of the house, the interior was created in the studio. The exterior of the house, we actually flew out to LA twice and filmed. They rented a whole neighborhood. And the exterior of the house was actually a real house.
Okay, so interesting. So the film takes place in Miami, but the exteriors and there's a cul-de-sac and a neighborhood that was actually filmed in an LA neighborhood.
Correct.
Interiors filmed in a studio in New Jersey. Yep. Now, for people interested in movie magic, a lot of times you could tell something is done in a studio. With this movie, the set decoration was so great. I don't think I'm giving anything away when I say it's kind of
meticulous.
A hoarder house.
It was meticulous.
Yeah, and they did it so well that, I mean, I know because of all the various camera angles I saw, it would be a lot of work to do in a house, because when you have a studio, you can take away a wall, you can put all your cameras and lights there, you can light it from different angles, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so now, when did they decide to rename the dog in the show Wilbur?
The director liked his name right from the get-go. I don't know. He said, we're not going to change his name. We like Wilbur. I'm like, okay.
Right. Okay. No problem. All right. So I love it. And so I knew that Wilbur was going to be on the rip, and it's so, or in the rip, I should say. When I watched this movie, my wife, who's the co-founder of Buddy, was not able to come to the National Dog Show with us. I paused the movie and I said, oh my God, I know him. And she goes, who? And I'm like, the dog, Wilbur, I met him. And she goes, okay. I'm like, no, he's really cool. He's really this neat dog. And I met his handler and trainer and everything. And she's like, okay, calm down. I mean, I was starstruck when he came on the screen. And, you know, and then I'm like, oh, they're calling him Wilbur, you know? So it's this really neat thing to see Wilbur in the movie. And he's got a little bit of a starring role.
Yeah, he's got a couple of big parts, but you see him throughout the movie. And not to be a spoiler, but I know a lot of people are always concerned. They don't want to watch it if the dog dies. They take really good care of Wilbur, and he is a happy camper in the end.
Wife even said that. A lot of people don't like it when the animals die in the movie. My wife even said, oh my God, I hope nothing happens to him because he's so cute.
Take really good care of him. He had a bulletproof vest and...
He did.
They put it on him when the shooting started and in the
right.
movie.
And all that stuff. Okay, so Mary, how long were you on set?
We filmed a total, I think, of 16 days.
Okay.
So we went to New Jersey on and off for a bunch of those days. We started, because they filmed a lot of the scenes without the dog. They started in Miami and then moved up to New Jersey. We filmed in October and November, and then we finished up in LA in early December. We flew out there twice.
Okay, so I'm guessing those scenes toward the end when there's a little bit of a chase, I don't want to give too much away, those were probably filmed in Miami.
Yes, some of those chase scenes might have been filmed also in LA. The cars coming into the cul-de-sac and, you know, that
sure.
sort of thing were all filmed in the neighborhood in LA.
Got it. Okay. All right. So you're on set for a couple of weeks in New Jersey, then you go out to LA. So being on set for people that don't know is a lot of hurry up and wait.
Mm-hmm. Long days of hurry
Long
up
days,
and wait.
Hurry up and wait.
good
and then,
food, though.
You know, we've talked about
really good
you
food.
Being calm. Yeah. You being calm, Wilbur being calm, which helps. Tell us just about being on set, what it's like, what the director's calling for, where are you in relation to the camera usually, all that kind of stuff.
So when we filmed in New Jersey, we had a great big, it was sort of like warehouse buildings and all the sets were built in there. A lot of times on a set, we'll have like a green room or something, but we actually were more comfortable in my car. I parked right next to Craft Services and... you know, we waited in the car right there by all the dressing room trailers and whatnot. Cause he was more comfortable in, you know, chilling in his crate and whatnot. And then the, you know, the production assistant would come out and get us, you know, 10 or 15 minute warning when we were going to rehearse. And we'd go in without the dog first to look at the scene. We had a humane representative with us on set, every day that the dog was there.
Now is that independent? Is that an independent rep?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Hired by the production company.
Right.
So we would go in and discuss the scene and what was going to happen and if there was any changes that needed to be made, you know, based on the safety of the dog. And like on that set, it was always, they were running artificial smoke, if you will, inside. So it was always done, you know, we needed to make sure it was a water-based smoke so that it was safe for the dog and
sure,
you know, that sort of thing.
Like a vapor. And,
right, exactly. So we always go in and look at the scene first. What do they want? What do they expect the dog to do? If I need to tweak anything, you know, and then we'd bring the dog in and rehearse. They use a stuffy, they build replicas of the dog in various positions, life size. So the second team can rehearse without the dog
right.
with a stuffy.
And that's also so they can block, so they can get camera angles, so they can get lighting.
Lighting, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And then and the dog's not actually being taxed for that.
Yep. So then we bring the dog in and do a couple of rehearsals, and then we shoot.
Okay. So it's interesting to me that there is a animal representative. So I've worked with children, and it's a lot of extra work. Fortunately, the child I worked with was wonderful. But why they have so with a child, there's a student teacher on set. You know,
we've
with
worked
an animal,
with kids too on shoots, and there's always a representative for the child there.
Right. So the thought behind this is, if it's just a, and the parent needs to be there too, right? Or the guardian or whatever.
Yep.
So the thought behind it is the director, the producer, whatnot, they can talk the parents into doing things. So like, need him to stay 15 minutes later than he's supposed to work. And there's very strict child labor laws, which are great.
Yep.
But the studio teacher or the, you know, the animal representative, that's the independent voice that's there to witness, be an advocate for,
correct,
step in. So that and Mary would never do this.
If I feel like a shot that they want to do isn't appropriate or isn't safe or whatnot, that rep is my backup. My voice that says, hey, we're not gonna do it this way. We have to do it a different way.
Right. Or conversely, and you would never do this, but if the director talks the trainer to do something dangerous, that advocate can step in and say, no, I'm the advocate here. I'm being very impartial. We're partial. We're not putting the animal through that.
Right. Exactly.
So it's a double backup, which is good. And that's good to know.
Yes. I mean, most productions that we've worked with in this production in particular, the crew was fantastic. You know, if we didn't often need to step in and say, hey, we need to do this differently or that sort of thing. They really liked the dog. They were really concerned about the dog's safety and well-being and making sure that he was happy and comfortable in all the scenes and whatnot. So that's always great to, you know, to have a director and a production crew that, you know, isn't just like, well, you need to make him do it, you know, sort of attitude.
And that's excellent. That's excellent to hear. So we've got stars that people know. We've got Ben Affleck. We've got Matt Damon. We've got Steven, I believe it's pronounced Yoon. He was on Walking Dead. We've got Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights. So we've had some big stars in this. There's some really great character actors that are playing the cops and what might be a criminal, what not might not be a criminal. So tell me, Mary, about working with all these stars. Spill the tea.
they really were great to work with.
That's great.
The actress Catalina that actually played his handler actually turned out to be allergic to him. Kind of a contact allergy. We, after the audition, when he got the part, we actually went on set one more time before we started filming for Catalina to meet him, and interact with him and whatnot. And she immediately, she loves dogs and she has a dog of her own, but it's a poodle mix, so it doesn't have the oils and necessarily sure. that a Beagle has in their coats. And some of the allergies come from saliva. So anyways, she was interacting with Wilbur, playing with him, giving him cookies, and started to break out in some itchy hives and whatnot. So her makeup people followed her around on set anytime that she interacted. She loved him. I mean, she did not avoid him.
Sure.
She hugged him and kissed him and played with him, and they followed her around and wiped her down and whatnot in between shots. It was great. They really loved the dog. And whenever we would pull into the set for the day, the call would go out, "Wilbur's here." I'm not sure they knew my name, but everybody knew Wilbur's name. And everybody would come and say hi to him and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
There he's like, "Oh, we're talking about me again." Love him. And I've had the great pleasure to meet Wilbur, and he is very lovable. He's very sweet. He's just got a great, sweet energy about him, and very calm. And so he is very lovable, and I could see where the crew and the cast would absolutely fall in love with him.
I mean, he really likes people. He just goes up to them. He, you know, puts his feet up on them and stretches and wants to be snuggled and that sort of thing. So, yeah, everybody loves the dog.
Love it. All right. So any stories we're missing from the set of The Rip?
No, I mean, you know, nothing unusual happened. The guys were great to work with. You know, when they would have their families come on set, the families always wanted to meet Wilbur. So, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of behind the scenes because they were very strict about,
sure,
you know, behind the scene photos and that sort of thing. But
of course.
Yeah, everybody wanted to meet Wilbur.
That's great.
And the first time, it's sort of funny, I joke with people, the first time I, quote unquote, met Matt and Ben, I was up in, it was one of the first days we were filming, and he had one of his big shots where he had to run down a hallway. And this actually took three people. So a lot of times on set, depending on what the dog needs to do, you need a second trainer or a third trainer to make sure that the whole action, one continuous shot, gets done. So my agent, who's also a trainer, was on set that day, and she had to release him down a hallway. And ahead of time, so I had two behaviors that I had to teach him before we started filming that he didn't know. He had to bark on command, but in this scene, they want him to bark straight up at attic stairs. So I had to train that ahead of time. And then also later in the, early in the movie, but later in the filming, because we filmed it in L.A., he has to lift his leg on command, do a fake pee,
right.
Because theoretically in the real dog would get excited and urinate when they smell lots of money. But anyways,
right.
So I was up in the attic, this set built attic. My agent released, Wilbur down up a set of stairs and down a long hallway. And the scene was he runs and he barks and barks and barks. And then, Ben and Matt come in and they pull down the stairs and they come up into the attic with their guns pulled. So, and it's a little space because it's a, you know, not a real attic. It's just built on the set. So there's me and a prop guy. So the first time I actually met them was crouched down in the attic out of camera view when they pull down the stairs and they come up and they're pointing guns at me.
And I was, there you go.
So I'm like, okay, I've had guns pointed at me by Ben and Matt.
Right. Now I like it. That's a great story. Neat. Okay. So, do you have, Mary, let's say somebody, now, if you're just a person at home and, you know, you've got a dog and the dog can do a couple tricks. Okay. That's fun. This is probably not for you. But if you're, let's say you're an owner, trainer, a handler, a combination, any of those things, right? You've been in the dog world, you actually train dogs and you want to get into this type of work. What is your suggestion to more of that person?
So my suggestion is make sure that the dog enjoys being in a busy public situation, compete in dog sports because it really helps get the dog used to that sort of situation. Have great foundations, great sit, stay, stand, stay, down, stay, a look at the camera. If you have those basics and work with a reputable agent, because like any industry, there are agents that are not as reputable. Work with a reputable agent and make sure, especially if you're just getting started, that you don't commit your dog to a shoot that the dog isn't actually ready to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always, especially with my younger dogs, really want to make sure that yes, I actually can do what the shot is calling for. Because you don't ever want to get on set. It's bad for your reputation, bad for your dog's reputation. You don't want to get on set and, you know, just because you really wanted that shot and said, yes, my dog can do it. You know, and get on set and find out that your dog isn't actually going to be able to do the behavior they want.
Sure. Because that could shut down the production for a day, right, a couple days, right, you know, before they get into their dog.
So for example, we did a commercial. I don't think it's out yet I think it's for Pumpkin Pet Insurance, where Wilbur had to chew on a shoe repeatedly, over and over again. And of course I don't want him chewing on shoes at home, so we don't let him chew on shoes.
Right.
But I also knew that I could, from a trainer's aspect, get creative and have him chew on shoes. So we booked that shoot knowing that I could train that behavior. And then what I actually did was went to the thrift store and bought a whole bunch of different types of shoes and put little tiny holes in the linings of the shoes and stuffed really good soft sandwich meat sort of thing in there. And he would chew on the shoes.
Right.
And so when we went to set to actually do the shoot, and he had started to do it on command and would do it on command, but also when we went to the set, I brought all of the things I needed to set up their shoes the same way. And it worked out great because they said, well, how are you going to get him to chew on the shoe? I said, I'm just going to plant food. You couldn't see it because I put little tiny slits in the linings. I'd experimented with it. And they were amazed because he laid on set chewing on a shoe for 5-10 minutes at a time while they filmed him.
Right.
So, you know, part of being a trainer and trying to get shots or behaviors is being creative and sort of thinking outside the box sometimes.
Right.
You know, to make sure your behavior.
Right. So make sure your dog can do what they needed to do, or you've got enough experience that while Wilbur didn't specifically chew on shoes, you knew in the time you had between the shoot
that I could make it happen.
That you could make it happen, right? Yeah. And that takes that experience to get to know that. So it's almost like start small.
Correct. Start small with like little studio, you know, simple modeling shots.
Sure.
You know, where he has to, where, you know, especially if the dog is sitting by himself, you know, like for dog clothing. And that's the other thing too, is I start my dogs young wearing clothes, glasses, hats.
Sure.
You know, all sorts of wigs, all sorts of unique things so that they're used to, because we get all the time, and we've just finished up two different Spirit Halloween shots where he's modeled packaging for costumes. And you want the dog to be comfortable wearing clothing. And, you know, if you look at Wilbur's social media sites, he's often wearing sunglasses or hats or clothes or t-shirts or whatnot.
Right. Well, that leads me great to my next question. Where can we follow Wilbur?
So he's on Instagram and Facebook. It's Wilbur the Blue Beagle.
Okay.
And that's where people can find him.
Wilbur the Blue Beagle. We can follow Wilbur's Wanderings on there.
Yes. Wilbur's Wanderings, we call it. And he posts about his adventures. We do some reels and we do some stories, and sometimes it's just an adventure about, you know, a dog show we've been to or what we did that weekend. But yeah, it's called Wilbur's Wanderings. It's on the heels of my older girl that did a lot of film work and modeling. She was Halo here, and she would do her adventures. So when she retired, we started Wilbur's Wanderings.
Great. I don't want to put you on the spot, but before we go, wondering if Wilbur can do that roo bark for us.
Wilbur, sit. Bark. 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 Ask a boy.
Oh, he's such a sweetie. I miss him. I want to see him again in person.
He is a
Hopefully
really good
happen.
Dog, and he's been really great to train, and he really loves to learn. So a lot of times teaching him a new behavior or capturing a new behavior is really easy. I've been very spoiled with him.
Well, that's great. That's good that he's
And he's
so
my best buddy.
And he's your best buddy on top of it.
goes everywhere with me.
That's excellent. And people love them, I'm sure, everywhere you go. Yeah. Very nice. Okay, so to our audience, Watch the Rip, currently streaming on Netflix. You're going to have a lot of fun. If you've seen it, watch it again, because now you know Wilbur. You know what he's all about. You know his great handler and trainer, Mary, behind the scenes, and she's absolutely wonderful, too. So I just wanted to say thank you, Mary. Thank you for bringing Wilbur on and talking to us and teaching us what goes on behind the scenes of a great movie.
We had a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.